I accidentally saw O-Town live in Florida once.
How do you accidentally see O-Town?
I was visiting my cousin, and we were at a random park. It was like a festival. And O-Town was just playing a random stage. That's how far O-Town fell. They were just playing a random stage at this park in Florida.
I thought the sign said Ho-Town. I was ready to party. Welcome back, everyone, to S1E1, a show where each week we pick a different sitcom, watch just the first televised episode, and forgetting anything we might know about the future run of that show, rate it and decide if it's a show we want to greenlight or cancel. This week we're going to be talking about Together. Together went 20 episodes over two seasons on MTV. They were talking about episode 1, which was called Lorelei, originally airing August 15th, 2000. So to get things started, I'm Jay Gags. With me as always, the boys, most of them, Nick, Berg, and Gordo. No Joe this week. What's going on, guys?
Heyo.
Yo.
Who? Should I be the fill-in and say a line from the show?
Well, I was going to, and then you cut it off to not say one.
Oh, well, by all means, Jay.
I was going to say, put it on ice, home nuts.
All right, now out of curiosity, Gordo, what was yours?
You didn't have one. That's the thing. That's the thing. He wanted to just say it. It had nothing.
You could have just lied and said, oh, I was going to do the same one.
Yeah.
Yeah, slap nuts.
Are we doing a Jeff Jarrett sitcom?
Oh, God. No, we could never do that without Joe.
All right. So anyways, Together, which is like, it's funny now thinking about it, because but started as a movie, so like the MTV movie. And this is like when, I think like 99 it came out, and when the movie first came out, that was like, those MTV movies were all like huge at the time. Remember like that and Jailbait?
Yeah.
And they would air them nonstop, but Together was like this big thing, perfect timing, yeah. Right when all the boy bands are exploding, right when all these like satirical like movies are starting to pop up, and they go ahead and they make a movie that's like a satire mockumentary about all these boy bands, which is crazy because these boy bands are only popular because MTV exists. And then yeah. MTV makes fun of the boy bands that they are promoting, which is getting the bulk of their ratings.
It's, you know what I wondered too is the name Lorelei is the main character or the mom there on in Gilmore Girls, if you remember. Is there a connection? Because they came out the same year and it's such a weird name.
I don't think so, but I don't know.
I don't know if it was a play on that or something, but
it's such an old lady name.
It's such a weird name to use twice in the same year on two very popular TV shows. It's just weird.
It's also one of the Elite Four on Pokemon.
I didn't know that.
You did not know that. I can honestly tell you, I have never heard of the name Lorelei.
You've never heard of the name?
No.
I don't know how to counter that. Like, I have no reply. If you never heard it, you never heard it. But.
Also, if anyone wants to watch the Together movie, the entire thing is on YouTube.
Is it a decent quality, though, or is it, like, just
it's like it's recorded off TV. Like, it has commercials and stuff. And
that's like something that's, like, to me, why isn't that on Paramount Plus? Like, MTV owns it. Like, just put it on there.
In all fairness, it could be. I never thought to look. I doubt it is, but...
Speaking of that, is this streaming anywhere?
No. Also, no. So, and here's the thing. And because also, as we're talking about the movie, the show Together comes out like a year or so afterwards because banking off the popularity of the movie, they turn it into a series. I'm trying to think like MTV, as far as like sitcom-y type scripted series, they didn't have like a lot. I mean, they had a lot of the cartoons and they had some of them that were like more like teen drama things, but something like this tone, I can't really think of another show off the top of my head right now.
Yeah, it was mainly because there was like True Life, Pimp My Ride, Next, Room Raiders, Date My Mom, Laguna Beach. Like, it's literally all just reality TV.
But they had like Undressed was scripted, but that wasn't like comedy.
I'm just looking through a list of like 30 shows from this time, and like Daria is like the only one that's not.
Yeah, I mean, they had a few cartoons. Yeah, a few cartoons that kind of followed a little bit more along the line of like that kind of sitcom-y vibe. This show, not the strongest budget. You could tell they had a very, very low budget for this show.
Well, for the time, it might have been all right.
It's very obvious they're on a set, and that set is one room, like, most of the time. Like,
but I was going to say, those costumes and the production at the end, like, that took a little bit. But, I mean, I guess you could make that up with, like, you know, TRL and other properties that
it was
they
all
own.
In a warehouse. I feel like they didn't. It's actually something I want to talk about as we get into it more. Like, I feel like they could have leaned on some MTV stuff a little bit more in the episode.
Yeah, they had Carson Daly. That was their biggest reference.
But and even then, it's kind of a nitpick. I'll get into that when we get to it. But just to talk about the show in general, though, did you guys watch the show, the movie, in its run?
Yeah, both.
I know I've seen the movie. I'm sure I've seen this show as well. I couldn't tell you anything from it.
I don't remember this show at all. Like, I remember it existing, but I definitely was not a fan of it when at the time.
I loved the movie, and then I watched the show, and I liked the show, but I acknowledge that the show is not nearly as good as the movie was.
No, it's definitely not as good. I also, not only did I watch both, I own two of their albums.
Both of their, that's all they got. Yeah. It's just the two. Yeah.
I had the one from the movie, and then the one that had the hardest part of breaking up was Together Again, and that's the better album.
You know what I'm surprised? I'd have to look, because I could be wrong, but, like, now that we're in the age of, like, everything getting these, like, fun vinyl releases coming out and, like, limited pressings, I'm surprised they haven't, like, put that out on a limited to 500 vinyl or something. You know what I mean? Like, I feel like that's a slam dunk. And then also I want to say IMDb has this as a 6.7 is the overall rating for the show. Rotten Tomatoes has nothing. And then for us, also go to s1e1pod.com. That's where you can find all the links to where to listen to us, how to get in touch with us, s1e1pod on Instagram and X, mainly the two major social medias you'll be able to talk to us on. We like to interact with you guys. I say it every week. That's how we get a lot of our picks. It's just talking to you guys, interacting. We like to know how you found us, and then, you know, we can kind of build what we do based on what we know you guys like. And then, yeah, I mean, I don't have a ton of other stuff about, like, the Together, other than just, you know, like we said, we talked about its origins as the movie and stuff like that. And I mean, the show comes out, and
the show, one thing I don't like, and well, I'm sure we'll get into a little more, but the show doesn't get into what happened from the events of the movie. Like, in the end of the movie, they get discovered, they have that big concert, cause the other band, Whoa, like, they prove they were lip syncing. And, like, their manager's Bob Buss, that's the guy who discovers them, he's their man. And he's not in the show. He's and now they're with another record company.
Yeah, and they kind of like, you know, the way this episode works, it's like, this band's like brand new and unproven. They haven't, like, it's almost as if they haven't been seen.
Yeah, it's like they have, but they haven't, right? Like, it's almost like, I guess it's kind of like how boy bands started, you know, like you get some people slapped together in a room and...
Right, but I mean, you see in the episode, again, and we'll talk about it later, but like they play a show, they're relatively unknown, no one's there to see the band. It seems like they just got signed, plucked from obscurity in a way, like it just...
Yeah, he says he found them in a mall at some point. It's like, that's not what happened.
You know, it's also weird too, because they have this like super hard ass, like, manager.
Well, those are like, yeah, the executives from the label.
Which is weird because they're... unproven.
Well, they're like an investment. I mean, that's how, like, if you think back to this time in like the late 90s, early 2000s, but yeah, there was Backstreet Boys and NSYNC, but the boy band craze was like rampant, and there were so many of them. And there were ones like, and then you think of like the O-Towns that were kind of like a tier below, but then there was like the, you know, in 98 Degrees, but then there was like bands like C-Note, and they're like, there were all these like, there were a ton of them that were like in the works too. Like they were just like pumping them out like a factory. Yeah, exactly. That like kind of had a hit, but it wasn't even a huge hit. Like, yeah. So you're a record label, and essentially the idea in the show is like, we found one that's already put together. Let's sign them up and like get them out there.
This was also the time too, where it was like boy band versus like rock band.
Well, yeah, well, like anything. Remember. I mean, in any time in music, it's when genres are clashing. But As far as like this stuff goes, and boy bands kind of always will exist and like come and go throughout time, but like this era of it and it being white hot, you know, I think the in real life, the idea is like it's a finite amount of time that like you can really capitalize at the level that you're capitalizing on.
Yeah. Is there a boy band that's popular right now?
Oh, what's that Australian one?
What about BTS, the K-pop guys? Like they're
oh,
huge.
Oh, yeah.
Baby Metal?
No, Baby Metal's not boy band. It's all girls.
And they're metal.
Yeah, it couldn't be as far from what we're... Hey, what's like a popular boy band? Oh, this band comprised
heavy
of all
women. Heavy metal female group. Yeah. Jay, if you make a clip of this, please put in a little bit of Baby Metal. Yeah. Just so people can hear what Gordo thought was a fucking band. And I knew you guys were going to say a Korean.
One Direction. That's the one I couldn't think of.
K-pop. Are they even a thing anymore?
No. They've long since, but like Harry Styles has been like a solo guy for a long time. But no, but like One Direction was very big after that wave. It looked like maybe another coming of all that stuff was going to happen.
The Jonas Brothers. Yeah.
But I don't look at them as a boy band. They were very pop heavy.
And it's funny now we've come full circle because now you're seeing the resurgence of the NSYNC and the Backstreet Boys.
That is a lot of that's leaning on like the nostalgia of those acts.
Oh, yeah, 100%. Yeah.
I grew up loving New Kids when I was a little kid. I loved New Kids on the block.
Me too. And I'm not going to lie. We all still fucking jammed some, you know, NSYNC and Backstreet hits, you know.
I'm not ashamed whatsoever.
I was going to say, Ferg's never left that. Ferg's been a big boy band guy since
Ferg
like the jump.
Loves his boy bands.
I'm sorry. I love catchy music and they are catchy. Why I love theme songs so much.
You also have to remember like, you know, August 2000 when this is coming out is like right when we're entering high school, so all that boy band stuff
that's
is
true
like,
yeah,
right as we're like, you know, leaving middle school going into high school. And yeah, I mean, Ferg proudly listened to all that stuff even then when it couldn't be less cool as like a 14-year-old going into high school to like any of that stuff.
It was crazy too, the polarizing like music too at that time, because you did have those bands with new metal, with the Korns and the Limp Bizkit.
I remember Limp Bizkit and NSYNC and Backstreet Boys used to all battle for number one on TRL.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
I remember on TRL, and we're going to talk about Carson Daly in about 10 seconds because he starts the episode. But I remember for the longest time, like when Freak on a Leash, which gets name dropped in this episode, when that was on TRL. For the longest time, it was Backstreet Boys and NSYNC would be number one and two. And Carson started calling number three the corn spot with Freak on a Leash, because it was just like every day, it was always going to be them at three, and then the other two would flip back and forth.
And then a little song called the Bum Bum Song came and knocked them all out. They made him retire because it knocked them out after one episode.
That was like, a story he told like years later, because like... You just thought he was being weird and wanted it to get to number one and then retired it. And then it was like, no, they knew that this was, but I guess before like the internet could take over things, you know, like this was like the first kind of case of it where like people were calling in for the Bum Bum Song.
You know what? It was equal to American Idol, that Sinjaya kid. People pushing him to always pass and win.
I forgot about Sinjaya.
Which one was he?
He was like a young Indian boy with a thick neck.
And he couldn't sing very well. Like, I mean, he sung better than me, but
he had a sister that was on it too, right? Didn't he also have a sister that was like on at the same time?
I'm not sure if it's the same time. I know he had a sister that was on the show.
Now, the only one of those guys that I remember was that guy that did She Bangs.
William Hung. I have his CD.
So do I.
Isn't that Ricky Martin?
No, but William Hung is famous for singing it.
Yes, it's a Ricky Martin song, but William Hung is notorious for being the one to sing on American Idol. Yes, yeah.
Oh, I thought that was an original.
Oh, my really? God,
Gordo. I'm not big into the Ricky Martin.
I expect this from Joe, not you.
Here's the thing, Gordo. It's like, so we joke around a lot when you, like, a lot of movie and TV stuff. I've known you for like 30 plus years, and every week you surprise me now, because I don't know how we all lived lives at the same time hanging out, and you just didn't pay attention to anything that was going on the whole time.
I'm telling you, he goes home and just stares at a wall and then wakes up the next day.
When we were kids, like all these things were referencing from our past that he doesn't remember either.
Yeah, most of the experience from my youth, you were next to me. You were always together.
You got flashy thing from Men in Black.
I mean, you know, we used to smack each other in the heads with, you know, trays.
What, pipes?
You know, trays. I've got a couple of concussions in my day.
Damn, Ferg hit me so hard I forgot about Ricky Martin.
Damn, Ferg hit me so hard I forgot 2 decades.
Hey, we all know I've never hit anybody hard.
All right, well, anyways, to get into this episode, it starts with Carson Daly, and it looks like this is one of my nitpicks. It's an MTV property. MTV's putting out this whole thing. Carson Daly's like on the phone with Chad, one of the members of Together. It's not quite TRL. It's made to kind of look like he's on TRL, but like he's not. I don't know if they have like licensing problems with their own stuff, but there was like, why isn't this just an episode of TRL?
Yeah. I thought it was.
Yeah.
Because it showed the New York Times Square and stuff.
It's made to kind of look it, but you could tell they were trying to, like avoid it being TRL, where they could have easily just like shot it during an episode of TRL.
They've done stuff like that. Like, they had actual TRL in the movie, and I know in other stuff they've done fake things for TRL.
Does Carson Daly make anybody else uncomfortable?
No. He's never done anything to me.
I don't know. His just presence just creeps me out for some reason.
I mean, when I was a kid, I thought he was pretty cool. He was the guy I joked for like year after his like MTV run. When Ryan Seacrest isn't available, you call Carson Daly. He was like the number two on the call list for those.
He's
for like
on some TV show now.
And to the dismay of Carson Daly,
it's on after Raw. It's him, Nikki Bella, some country guy.
Yeah,
bar games. I don't think that's what it's called.
Oh, that's right.
He's like a forever TV personality, though, now.
I mean, I'm sure he's doing well for himself.
He's been like consistently on television for 30 years.
But I don't know. I don't think nowadays it's so much, but like looking at him back then, I'm just like, oh, what an insufferable douche he seems like.
I don't know. He seemed fine.
He seemed like a nice guy. You know who made me uncomfortable was Kurt Loder. I couldn't stand that guy.
He put integrity on MTV News.
Everybody on MTV was like young 20s and like high teens. And this guy was like 40.
He was the one who like ran the news department. Yeah.
Yeah, he did the news though, so you needed the old guy to read the news.
Side note, I guarantee you Joe is probably a big Kurt Loder fan.
Probably.
In this interview we get, and it's Chad's over the phone, and he's the shy one. Everyone in the band has a trope. And this is like they let you know in the intro of the show, but this is stuff that especially if you had watched the movie, you'd already be aware of. But we're finding out that the band was recently signed by Whatev Records and were brought out to LA. And now, like, the label got them this house that they're all going to live in together and, like, prep for recording and touring and all that stuff like that. Now that they just got there, they're going to be throwing this big party. And even Lorelai will be there. And Lorelai is, like, she's the Britney Spears, Christina Aguilera, like, in this episode, huge number one pop star. And they're going to go on tour with her as an opener soon.
Did they have to make a fake pop star? They couldn't have used someone. Like, I know Mandy Moore's on the show later, and they have other stars.
Well, I guess it depends on, like, how involved they think that character could be, too. Because if you make it Britney Spears and she does a cameo, but then you want her on for 6 episodes, then it's
and then
a
she
problem.
Gets committed.
Now, question for our listeners who probably haven't seen the movie or the TV show. Is it the same actors?
Yeah.
Yes. So
everyone in the band is, they're the only recurring characters, and it's the same band.
And the girl, did you say the girlfriend? I'm sorry.
No.
Oh, his girlfriend? Didn't mention her.
Yeah, she's the same.
Okay. So, just in case people are wondering.
I think he's secretly asking for himself.
I am, but you know.
For the listeners.
But you know, I'm the people's champ here.
The bald one, Doug, you know, the reassuring older brother type, that's Chris Farley's brother.
Yes.
Yes.
Kevin Farley?
Kevin Farley, yes. Yeah.
Carson's like, tell us about this house. And Chad's like, who's us? He's like, everyone, like, you're on national television, like, everyone listening. But now he's getting nervous. And then you can hear him, like, talking to his brother, Doug, who's Kevin Farley's character. And you hear all the other bandmates in the background, too, because now he's, like, nervous. And that's kind of how that scene ends, just the nervousness of the phone call. And it gets to the party from there. We flash forward and we're following Jerry, who's like the heartthrob. That's his trope in the band. And he's looking for his girlfriend. It's funny because so he is played by Evan Farmer, who he ended up doing like a lot of stuff on like HGTV and like all these things like later on.
That's exactly where I assumed he'd end up.
And I would see him on these like shows like where they would do like, you know, home, you know, fixer upper things. And I'm like, it's the guy from Together. Like, I would always be excited to see him on TV.
You have a beautiful voice.
That house that like the party's in, it's like it has this very like real world kind of house. Like it's like a hip house.
It's 100% what they were going for. Yeah.
It's very on brand for like that 2000 era for sure.
It's all very like colorful, like modern, not modern, like contemporary furniture with a lot of like curves. And it's hideous now, like looking back. Was it hideous then though? Did we think it was cool back then?
So I'll say like thinking back to like when the real world was like in its prime, and like I loved the real world at the time.
I mean, those houses were so cool.
One of my favorite parts of the whole series would be the first episode when they unveil the house and they're walking around. I'm like, this place is fucking sick. Like it.
Yeah.
They just seemed like the coolest houses in the world. And I feel like there's kind of a missed opportunity now because I'm sure those places all got like demoed and ripped up and sold afterwards for the most part. But think now, like if Airbnb was like a thing then, you know what I mean? Like the opportunity to like stay in the real world house, like would be so cool.
Wasn't there one in Boston?
I was just looking that up. It was a firehouse, wasn't it?
Yeah.
It's still there. It's on Mount Vernon Street. Like even think about like Jersey Shore, which is still active right now. Like that, the owner of that house, I believe, makes like millions off of renting it out.
I mean like crazy money. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that house isn't even that nice.
No, it's the same. It's honestly like the same run of the mill places that we've stayed at when we would like go to Old Orchard Beach and stuff.
Yeah, that was a legitimate rental and MTV just used it.
Yeah.
It wasn't like a built house for this new Jersey Shore show.
They just threw a bunch of shitty twin beds and rooms.
Well, the places we stay at, it's the same thing. So we see Jerry's girlfriend, Erin, right? She's with like those guys, the two executive guys that we, you know, that work for Whatever Records. They want everyone to think that she's his sister, not girlfriend. And that's very like, this harkens back to like the Beatles. They used to do this with like, I remember like, I think it was like Paul McCartney when he first got married, like they hid it because the idea is like you want all these girls who are the target audience to believe that they're, you know, available bachelors. So, you know, they were hiding their relationships.
In reality, I don't think it would make a difference. They'd all still make a play for him.
I bet this shit happened a lot. I bet they, like, especially before, you know, I don't know how to word it, but like, before acceptable things became not so acceptable, they definitely did a lot of crazy shit with these groups.
And also just like, I just think back to like my early celebrity crushes. That was not based on them being single. It was just based on them being like, attracted to them.
Yeah, it's like, oh, damn, now we'll never date. Like, you know, like, that's not...
Carmen Electra's with Dennis Rodman now? Now I'm never going to look at that calendar again.
Speaking of, one of my biggest crushes of that era was Mandy Moore. My goodness.
I like there you go. Well, I guess if we're going to get into, like, our earliest, like, or at least in around that era, like, I was obsessed with Jennifer Love Hewitt.
Well, yeah, I mean, but they especially, like, they knew... looks were gonna sell, right? So that was how. Well, Jennifer Love Hewitt was a pretty decent actress too. So that, but like, just think, like you got Britney Spears, Christina Aguilera, Mandy Moore. Like they're all insanely attractive, for you know. But that's why they. I don't think any. Well, Christina Aguilera's got a pretty good voice, right?
Christina Aguilera has an amazing voice.
They all came from the House of Mouse. All right,
that's true. Yeah,
I had a crush on the Power Rangers girl,
Kimberly.
Yes.
I thought you were just going to say the Power Rangers.
The Power Rangers, yeah.
All of them.
No, Megalodon or whatever it turned into. Megazoid.
The Megalodon?
Megalodon. Megalodon. He had a thing for Alpha 5.
Oh, God.
He got really upset when it became Alpha 6.
So, anyways... Now we're cutting to Lorelai, and she's talking to press members of this party, and they're asking if she's excited to have Together open up for her. And they're also saying, well, who's your favorite? And she's like, oh, I can't tell you that. I should also say this show is nonstop cut to cut to cut to cut, like just thing. It's a lot of bouncing around.
There's one that I'm like, I thought that they cut part of the episode out because it's like mid scene. It cuts to something.
They're
else.
Just abruptly switching you to from person to person a lot. Like they're trying to do a lot of stories at once.
Yeah.
Which could be overwhelming, but because there's not a lot of substance to any of this, I think it's not that hard to track. But yeah, it's a lot of abrupt, bouncing from person to person.
See, I was actually curious, Jade, to see where you landed on this because on Two Guys, a Girl, and a Pizza Place, you said rifling off their professions or their majors was too much. And I think this is too much, but you're okay with it.
Well, it's very different. I think there, what they were doing in Two Guys, which we, covered last week, was I think they were injecting too much information at once unnaturally into the conversation just to tell you a lot of things at once.
Okay, I guess that makes sense, yeah.
Here, I don't mind a lot of information if it makes sense story-wise. I just don't think writers need to have this pressure to tell you everything right away. There's going to ideally be more than one episode, so just give me enough that I can follow along and we can learn as we go.
Plus, it was a movie.
Well, yeah, here we have backstory, too, because there's an entire movie that comes out beforehand.
Yeah, that's true.
But with this, it's not even that to me. It's just the fact that every scene is no more than, like, two lines before we cut to something else again. Everything's just like, boop, 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 boop. We're just moving constantly. Now we see Mickey Park, who is the bad boy of the group, who, like, I always loved Mickey Park.
Mickey Park up in this mug.
Does he remind you of Jimmy Tatro at all?
I don't know who that is, so no.
You know who he is. The first bad guy in American Vandal. The one who they thought drew the dicks on everything. Did you watch American Vandal?
No.
You never saw that?
Gotta watch American Vandal. Holy shit. He's been in a bunch of things, but
he's in the beginning of the Freaky Friday video from Little Dicky. He plays Bert Kreischer in the Machine movie.
Yeah, he plays the young version of him. He reminds me, and I couldn't remember, figure out why I knew this guy, but I think it's just because he reminded me of Jimmy Tatro. But Gordo, I assume you didn't do any research. Did you happen to notice that he was in a movie called Butt Whistle?
No, but now I need to look that up.
And it sounds like a serious movie, too. Like, it's got a legitimate, cover, and it says, a film by Tenney Fairchild, Butt Whistle.
This is Alex Solowitz, who plays Mickey Park.
In this movie, and it's Ogden Comfer is a community college student living with his parents and dealing with the recent loss of his best pal. When he foils the suicide effort of a mysterious young lady, Beth, who proceeds to make him pay for not minding his own business, and it's called Butt Whistle. Like, it's just it's Butt Whistle. About a suicidal girl and somebody who tried to save her. Butt Whistle.
He says she made some pay. Maybe she curses him. Butt Whistle.
Well, so Mickey Park is, he's trying to spit game at this girl. She unzips his vest and it reveals that he's wearing a bulletproof vest. And he's like, got to be careful. You saw what they did with Biggie and Tupac. Mind you, he's in a boy band and not part of like the gang scene. But
I think he thinks he's part of a gang scene.
Oh, for sure. He's like the bad boy and he's very wiggerish.
Yeah, he reminds me of J-Rock.
Yeah, yeah, he does. Yeah.
So now we flash to one of the executives introducing QT, and he's telling him, say something cute. He's like, I'm dying of chronic liver disease. And it's it's so sad.
Oh,
because
elephant in the room now.
Yeah, well, I mean, you have to get into it. So the actor who plays him, Michael Cuccioni, so he real life died maybe it was 5 months after this show premiered.
Yep, that's why it got canceled.
Yeah, they were in the middle of doing their second season, and when he was real young, he got cancer. He had non-Hodgkin's lymphoma, and then something came back, and then eventually he had a lot of complications with it, and It's sad because he only has like 3 acting credits. He did an episode of Baywatch too.
Yeah, he died in Baywatch.
He dies in Baywatch.
Yeah, and then, like, they really leaned into it for him. I don't know why.
He was a dying kid in that, like a second, and then it happens in this, and it was like, even in the movie, that was always his shtick, is that like he's young and he's like chronically ill and he's going to die. It was funny at the time when you don't know that in real life, like, he's dealing with these things, and then
that's just fucked up.
To have him die, like, he died, like, days after his 16th birthday, you know what I mean? He's only, like, 15 years old in the show. It's not that, it's tough to remove yourself, because now I'm watching it, and I'm trying to watch it fresh-brained, you know, as we do, and try to, like, ignore everything, but knowing that this kid passed away, like, soon after, and every time you see him, it's a joke about how he's going to die, like, it's just, it takes you out of it a little bit.
Yeah, and it wasn't even anything came back. It was just that the treatments he had gone through from the first 2 bouts of cancer just, like, destroyed his heart and lungs and stuff, so. But, I mean, yes, I didn't realize he was 16 when he died. I thought he was older than that, but, I mean, at least he made an impact while he was here, right?
From there, we cut back to, like, the Linus brothers. That's, like, Doug and...
Chad.
Slipping my mind. Chad?
Yeah.
So Doug and Chad, and... A girl is talking to Chad, but he's shy and he's like, you know, having a hard time talking to her. So he's talking through Doug, like whispering in his ear. And she wants Chad to dance for her. So Doug does instead. And then, like, again, so as you'd imagine, Chris Farley's brother looks like he could be Chris Farley's brother.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
That's the joke of him being in this boy band, is he's an adult man. He's not like this teenage boy. So when you see him doing these, like, dance moves, it's obviously very comedic. But not bad. He really wasn't, like, it wasn't as, like, silly as he thought it would be. It was silly because he wasn't doing a bad job.
Did you happen to notice, does he still have his braces in the show?
I don't think he does in the show. I forgot about that. So I don't think he did.
Because I remember they gave him braces to make him look young because he was too old to be the older one. But that's the only way Chad would come. That's how he got in the band.
So now Jerry finally spots his girlfriend from afar, and he's, like, pointing to, like, meet me downstairs. Now you see him get down, and it looks like they might have, like, a recording booth or something in the basement area. And it's dark in there, and you see a silhouette of a girl walk up, and he gives her a kiss. Come to find out, it's not his girlfriend, it's Lorelai that followed him down there.
Dun, dun, dun.
You know what? Good on him, though. He knew from the kiss that it wasn't her.
That's true.
Yeah.
In the dark.
He gets super nervous, and she's, like, into him, because as we find out, she didn't want to say which one she liked. It's clearly him. She's like, hey, I think we should hang out sometime, and he rejects the offer and runs off, which, you know, to his power. You know, you have this very beautiful, very famous singer who's going after you, and he's very committed to his relationship. He's a good dude. You
gotta respect that.
Jerry O'Keefe, man.
Everybody in this band has a moniker, right? Like, the cute one.
Yes.
Yep. You want me to list them?
Yeah, actually. Berg.
Gary O'Keefe is the heartthrob. Chad's the shy one. Doug is the reassuring older brother type. QT's the little brother, the little one. Then, Mickey Park's the bad boy.
Now, if we had...
What, the five of us? If the five of us had to fall into the tropes?
Correct. That's what I meant to say.
I think I'd end up being the older brother type, right?
I guess I'm the obvious heartthrob, right? But...
I'm gonna say is Joe the bad boy?
Am I the younger brother or am I the shy one? I think I'm probably the younger brother.
You're definitely not a shy person, so I guess you're the little one. Despite being the oldest.
I wouldn't say Nick's shy, but he would fall into that trope more than the rest of us.
I'm shy.
Yeah, I mean, I was gonna say you're less of an extrovert compared to, like, the rest of us, so.
I mean, it's stretching. I'm certainly not the heartthrobs.
I think you might have just lucked into the role, because I think we don't have a lot of options.
That's all that's left. I'll take
we
it.
We just don't have one.
Rats.
So. There you go, Ferg. You're the heartthrob.
Oh, girls, you like my Slytherin shirt?
So now we get back upstairs, and Jerry sees his girlfriend, his actual girlfriend, and now he's super paranoid because he just kissed someone else. And he's like, hey, it's our song. And he's, like, dragging her to the dance floor and starts dancing. And she's like, our song is Freak on a Leash. And it's like, how is that your song?
Hey, listen, I'm not here to hate.
It's just, like, I just don't see how they were dancing to that
I'm not
one,
trying to hate. I'm just saying that is objectively a weird song to have as a couple.
I like the song that's playing. It's just random house music. It's like, it's our song.
That's another thing. So I guess it's good, I guess, if you have distribution for the show, if the show had a longer run, because you don't want to, like, we've talked about it. When you start littering it with, like, songs that are paid for, you can only do so much with them in syndication after. Again, I'm thinking you have all this MTV tie-in and all these resources, and they're just not... Maybe there's something I don't know about the production of this show. Maybe it was separated from
MTV. Well, MTV doesn't own Korn's music. You know,
not Korn's, like, I'm not saying play Freak on a Leash, but just the ability to use any music and stuff like that. Like, they didn't use anything.
They have the ability to call in favors, basically.
Yeah, more so than I think almost any other production company at this point in time for popular music.
Well, I remember the other, like, well, I mean, the movies are different, right? You could put extra emphasis on the movies. Because I remember we mentioned Jailbait before. I remember the Jailbait soundtrack was like a big thing. Like, the, you know,
Phoenix TX was the main song from that.
I think so. Yeah. One of those, man. I think it was them. So here I just thought, you know, the lack of using some of that stuff was an eye opener.
Well, it's a one time deal for a movie versus in perpetuity.
Sure. And not knowing the length of the show, there's an opportunity that, you know, if the show goes well, that, you know, you're going to want to use this a lot. It obviously didn't pan out that way, but.
Also, though, like, if it's the same universe as the movie, it's like almost like an alternate world, because, like, NSYNC and all them don't exist. Like, the big band at the time was Whoa, which is another fictional boy band. So maybe they just don't exist, all these other bands.
And sure.
Then, although Mandy Moore pops up, so that gets rid of my theory.
And Mandy Moore plays herself?
Yeah.
Okay.
Just like an Entourage.
Yeah.
Do what you know, again.
Yeah. So anyways, he's dancing on the dance floor and kind of weird dancing, and he's just really paranoid and frantically moving around the dance floor. And for whatever reason, the music cuts and everyone's just looking at him. I don't really know what caused it. And he's just continuing to dance.
This was weird, man. Like, I didn't know why all the eyes were on him.
I don't know what caused the music to stop or anything, but.
I did love when the music stops. He's still dancing. He just screams, "Somebody play Freak on a Leash."
Yeah.
That cuts into the actual intro. And then the intro, if we'd already gone through it, but essentially all the intro really is doing is telling you each member of the band and their role of the band, like their trope. But you see that with their actual name. And the intro is just basically you get individual shots of each of them, but they keep getting like hit with like a blue laser. And then like those laser beams, all five of them end up at the house in LA, and they like morph into the house while one of the Together songs, the title song Together, is playing.
Morphin time.
Yes, Gordo. I remember you used to have a big crush on the Power Rangers.
Yes, exactly. And this will come in later on.
And Megadon.
The Megalodon.
But I'm cool with the intro. There's not a lot to it. It's very fitting of the times. It had a catchy song. Told you what you needed to know.
Right where it should be for the time.
Fine. It's not their best song, but it's fine. It works.
It makes sense because it's like about they're using the title of the band.
Yeah.
In the next scene, we have Jerry and his girlfriend, and they're making out in his bed. And that's when like guilt overcomes him, and he says, like, "Hey, I did something terrible. I cheated." And he explains the situation, and she's like, she's not mad at all.
I think, again, good on him. That's so many sitcoms we've talked about where they lie for no reason, when they can explain it. Just like, carry on, and that bothers me. But I like that he told her and she was okay with it.
Because the reality of the situation was, hey, I kissed the girl, I thought it was you, and I'm telling you about it. And it was just that one kiss, you know? So it really isn't that bad.
I even thought that she was going to be like, I don't care, like, whatever. But even she was like, well, you told me, that's fine. I was like, this is so weird for a sitcom. That's not how it goes.
Well, she's like, hey, most guys make out with their girlfriends and think it's Lorelai. Like, you fantasize about it. You actually kissed Lorelai and thought about me. So, like, I'm actually pretty flattered.
Yeah.
And then they kiss, and she says, I was just thinking about Justin Timberlake. Hey, actually, so they do exist. So, again, we talk about the differences between the movie and the show. So, I guess everything's canon in the show now. Now, in the next scene, we see them all in a room, like, rehearsing choreography for their... like the tour they're about to go on, these shows. And Chad's afraid to face forward when he's singing, and the two record label guys come in. They're like critiquing what little they've already seen. Mickey Park saying, like, part of the problem is that they're like shacked up on this house,
and how he needs to get out. And that's when you had the executive I said in the beginning of the episode say, put it on ice, home nuts. I don't know why I thought that line was so funny.
Home nuts is funny.
But essentially, these executives are telling him, hey, you guys need to get your shit together because in 2 days, you're opening up for Lorelai. And QT goes, Jerry's girlfriend. And that's when the execs like, wait, what? And when they find out like that she wants to go out with them, they're basically like, you need to do this. We need this publicity. Like, this is like one date with Lorelai. That's like better than QT getting trapped in a well.
Which makes sense. And this stuff goes on all the time in Hollywood.
I mean, to this day, that's the reality of the fact. People's infatuation with celebrities' personal lives is like a forever thing. And yes, if the way she's presented on this show, if she's that famous and he goes on a date with her, it's going to be a big news story, which come to find out later on as we talk about it.
But was it a real good story because Kurt Loder didn't read it?
True. Wasn't read by a 40-year-old man on a teenage network.
I'm still going to be team Kurt Loder because I thought he brought integrity to the news.
I'm not anti-Kurt Loder. I like Kurt Loder.
I bet you love Linda Ellerbe, too, on Nick News.
That is a name I haven't heard in so long.
She did the same thing. She brought integrity.
I don't need integrity. It should have been...
To Nickelodeon?
Yeah, man. I want wild Nickelodeon. I want people getting slimed. I don't want to learn about recycling.
I remember they do, like, the Nick News, and they'd have... It would be her and, like... doing roundtable discussions with a bunch of little kids who have no idea what's going on in these topics. They're just trying to talk about world issues, and these kids are like, yeah, that sounds bad, pollution.
Yeah, like they did that a lot with like presidential elections and stuff, too. And it's like, what?
Linda fucking Ellerbe. What, is she still alive?
Probably not.
I got it right here. She is. She's 79.
Oh, she's actually younger than I would have thought. I guess...
She seemed 79 in 2000, yeah. Oh, man, Linda Ellerbe. What a name drop.
So we cut to later on in the day, and the five are all hanging around like a table in like the next room over. And they're talking about the whole situation as far as like Jerry going on a date with this girl. And QT's like, I'll date her. And Mickey's like, I'll date her 5 times in one night. Which I don't know why I thought was so funny, but it got me.
He's a goofball. He's just one of those dudes who doesn't need to do anything, but he's still funny.
And then Chad, who's the shy one, is also kind of the dumb one. And he's like, come on, guys. We don't want QT to get trapped in a well.
That's my favorite line of the whole episode.
As they're talking, Jerry kind of reveals that, because they ask, his girlfriend does know about that whole kiss. And when Doug finds out, Doug perceives it as getting a free pass to hook up with Lorelai, which is, I don't think is the reality of it, but that's how he believed it to be true.
Yeah.
But now he's like pissed because he's like, essentially like Jerry's like a young, good looking guy. And he's like, you know, you're not some 34-year-old fat ass with 2 kids and an ex-wife who's hooking up with a hunky contractor.
I got, I can see Chris Farley giving that,
yes,
you know, little speech too. Like, much louder and more aggressive, obviously, but...
It's not... I mean, he doesn't do it with the same extremity, but that is that van by the river,
yes,
like, you know, like, it's that kind of storytelling.
Right. Yes, I was just going to say that.
He also has a cameo in Dirty Work. He's one of the people that works at the movie place.
The dirty place?
The movie place. The movie theater in the Don Rickles scene.
It's been a long time since I've seen Dirty Work.
It's such a good movie.
It is. I saw it in theaters with you guys.
We've talked about this too, like, not to get on a tangent, but that's kind of what we do. Ever since we did Norm MacDonald's show, like, a while back, you can go back and listen if you haven't. We covered Norm. Like, my algorithm has forever been just flooded with Norm MacDonald ever since.
Me too.
And probably because every time I see, like, a good Norm video, I'm sharing it with you guys anyways. So I'm just, so, like... Instagram knows I want to see more Norm MacDonald videos. So, like, he's just, what a gem of a human.
Funniest roaster.
Well, one of my favorite, again, sorry to go on a Norm tangent, but one of my favorite clips is the one of him and Bob Saget talking. And Bob Saget's talking about the time he met Dean Martin. He's like, Dean was sitting there and he had just lost his son. he's like, I walked up to him and like, I didn't know what to say, but you know, he's like, I walk up and he looks up at me and I go, and then Norm cuts and goes, I found your son. I've seen the clip 100 times and it makes me laugh every time. It's just the timing was so perfect. So, anyways, to get back into this, it's basically decided amongst the band that this is something that Jerry's going to have to do. He's going to have to go on this date because it's best for the band. And like in my brain, couldn't he tell his girlfriend, hey, the label wants me to go on a date with this girl. They just want me to be seen with her in public, like getting dinner.
Yeah. Like,
I feel like the understanding of his girlfriend, like from what we saw of her already, like I feel like if he said that, it would have been fine.
Yeah, exactly. That's what bothered me about this like whole kind of arc in the show here, was that he could have just said, hey, let's do it, and then we're going to both be richer.
Right, so here's the thing. Now, we'll get into it later. There is going to be conflict because of this date. However, I think he could have still ran it by his girlfriend and all of the okays happened, and then the same thing we find out later in the episode could have still happened and caused the problem. So, like, I just feel like, to me, the story would have made a little bit more sense. Now, this is where it gets tough, because, like, a show like this, as we watch it, and however we rate it at the end, we rate it at the end. And, Nick, you kind of said earlier, like, am I grading this show different than I would something like Two Guys, a Girl, and a Pizza Place? And this, and I'll say this is a little tough, like, because I'm looking at the show, like, you almost give them, like, extra passes when it comes to, like, the logic train sometimes. Because I know this is like a satirical, goofy show, and it's meant to be kind of dumb. Yeah. So, like,
I was going to bring this up closer to the green light or cancel, because I don't know if I should be grading this as a, because I didn't see the movie. Well, no, I definitely saw the movie, but it was maybe when it came out once, or in passing. I don't remember it. Should I grade this show knowing the movie? And knowing that this band is a satirical existence already, or am I grading it, meeting them for the first time in this satirical way and not having because this is just one of those shows, just because of the times, it does not translate to 2024.
In this case, I think it's okay to grade on terms of the movie existing too, because the movie came before it. It's not like you're grading it for stuff they did in the future.
But also, even if you didn't, I don't know if it would have a huge impact, because the show, just knowing the show and how it's presented to you, it is a satire. You would know that watching it fresh, the way it was like promoted anyways, the way that they're showing the tropes of the bands and a lot of that stuff. So,
yeah,
but it is like a dumbed down form of sitcom. You know, it's not meant to be super clever.
I mean, yeah. it's kind of like the Santa Clauses we did, which had the previous movies. Like, are we supposed to take those into account, or are we supposed to ignore them?
I mean, you don't remember the movie that well, so I mean, just go with your
heart. No, I know, and that's why I ask. Like, I'm gonna have like a little bit of a different outlook on it than you guys might.
Sure. And I mean, and you know, at the end of the day, it makes for interesting conversation one way or the other, right? So yeah. It's like, you know, for what it is. We've said this before. There are rules. We make up our own rules. It's tough to grade consistently. As much as I try to, you know what I mean? It's tough to forget things. It's tough to ignore nostalgia, all that stuff. But in any event, we cut to later on, and we see Doug and Chad, and they're in their room. They have a shared room. Did you guys notice, like, the odd bunk bed thing they have?
Yeah, the bottom bunk is, like, a fold, and the top bunk is a twin, and they're, like, L-shaped.
And they're not facing the same direction. It's, like a really interesting kind of bunk bed.
Actually, I have seen that before, and me, if you too remember,
we had that in my house.
Yeah, you did. But also on another TV show, Arrested Development, what's Michael Cera's character's name? I can't think of it.
Do they have it that way where the beds were facing different directions though?
Yeah, it's like the top bunk was up against the wall and the bottom bunk was in the middle facing the other direction.
Also, I could be wrong, but I feel like Home Improvement, their beds were like that as well.
They weren't bunks. They were on different levels. Like, oh, okay. They went up. But yeah, those beds were really weird.
I always wanted a bunk bed as a kid.
I had them with my brother when we were kids.
I just wanted to be sleeping up high for some reason. Like, it would have made a difference.
But you actually funny, because at that point in time, the room I'm in today is the room me and my brother shared as kids. We had bunk beds. So right behind where I'm sitting now is where the bunk beds were set up.
You had enough room with the ceiling, the bed ceiling?
Yeah, because this ceiling isn't too, it's not until the very end.
Okay.
But yeah, I was a top bunk, and I used to have, so if you go straight out of my room, there's like the steps to go downstairs to the second floor. And when I was a kid, I would have like a reoccurring dream of like the whole bed sliding down the stairs. Yeah, it's funny. I didn't even like, as I bring up the bunk bed thing, I wasn't even thinking about how I slept in bunk beds and literally like where I'm sitting right now. But didn't even dawn on me at the time. Chad's dealing with his nerves because they have this performance thing coming up. Doug's saying like, hey, you know, the trick is instead of looking at everybody and seeing like 20,000 people, you single one girl out and you focus on her and you sing to just her. Now he grabs a stuffed animal that they have in their room for some fucking reason and does, here, practice on this.
This whole thing got a little strange.
Sure. And it's supposed to.
Yeah.
Chad gives the stuffed dog the name Lisa. He's like, okay, now give me more. Like, tell me more about Lisa. He's like, well, she likes ice cream. She doesn't like love ice cream, but if you put a magic shell on it, she'll eat it. The magic shell, by the way, is like that chocolate that hardens on it, you know, over the top. Like,
I always had the Reese's one as a kid.
Now Chad grabs a football and he says, and this is Paul, her friend. Doug's like, okay. And then we cut to Mickey and QT who are elsewhere. And again, this is, I hate putting dampers on, but like.
This line is funny though.
Mickey's like, you dead yet? They say you die, but I don't see you dead.
And it's just cause he's got cabin fever and he wants him to leave him alone.
Yeah. Basically the whole conversation is centered around the fact that Mickey feels trapped in this house and he's like trying to get out. He's like, you know what? Enough of this. He's like, they let Jerry leave and go on a date because they know he's got no game. But, you know, I'm going to be going to these parties with all these bitches and hoes. He's like, I'm going outside. So he has this gigantic fur coat. And like, and the hat that he wears with it is like, it's absolutely ridiculous.
Yeah, he dresses like a pimp.
He looks like Hank Hill when he's a pimp in that episode of King of the
Hill. It's a classic like caricature of what a pimp dresses like. QT wants to come with him, but Mickey's like, no, like you're way too small. And he leaves him. So now we cut to Jerry, who's calling Lorelai. This was a really, again, all these scenes like 8 seconds long. Jerry calls Lorelai to set up this date and basically says nothing but like, hey, remember me? And then just, great. And then he apparently has a date set up, which cuts back to Mickey.
This was what I was talking about when I said there was a random cut that I thought they like the episode we downloaded missed something. Because all of a sudden they're in the store.
Yeah, there wasn't enough of that scene because he was alone in the room. They should have paired him up with someone to make the phone call so he could interact after.
You think maybe there's a commercial?
But he picks up the phone and it's just like, yep, sounds good. And even the fake conversation is mostly the person that you can't hear.
So you could have at least done the person on the other line.
Yeah.
Sure, I'd love to go up then.
See, I thought this was him practicing. Because he didn't want to do it. So, like, you know how you can make a fake phone call? I thought that's what he was doing.
I'll say this, Gordo. When I was watching it, I did think that that was going to be how that scene ended. With that, it was just him practicing.
Yeah.
Like, something was going to, like, all right, now for real this time. Or something, like, something was going to happen at the end of it.
Exactly. Or he'd be like, all right, good. Now it's time. Or
yeah, like, instead of just kind of, like, awkwardly placed, we just have to establish that they're going on a date. And then they cut right back to Mickey. And you see him at like a store, Mickey Park, grabbing a 40. And as he's walking through the store, there's a knock at the window. And you see QT like in the window. And now he has a fur coat and hat on as well.
I audibly awed. I went, aw. This looks adorable.
But also like, how did he, like, dude, there's no logic in shows like this. But Mickey Park being the character he is, like you can understand why he has like a fur coat and hat like that.
Yeah.
But like QT just has a matching one now all of a sudden. Like,
I think he raided whatever his name's closet.
Mickey Park up in the smug?
Maybe they have all this money and he went to the pimp store right before meeting him.
Oh, that's true. Now, can I ask another question for our audience here? Because it's going to come into play right here.
Okay, for a question for you, sure.
How old are these people supposed to be?
They're all teenagers.
Yeah, so I was going to bring this up because now we see the two of them in there together after QT enters, and they both have their arms full of liquor. They go to the, you know, the cashier and they drop it all down, and the guy's asking them for ID, and neither of them have an ID on them. And it didn't dawn on me until this moment that Mickey was underage.
Yeah.
Yeah. Agreed.
Mickey has an older face.
Why didn't they send, what's his name? Chris Farley's brother.
Well, Mickey wanted to get out of the house. So, like, that was his main objective. Is like, I need to go outside.
Yeah, there was no plan. He ran out.
And I would say there, depending on the stores, right? Like, maybe there's a chance if you don't have this obviously 15-year-old kid next to you, maybe they would have served Mickey.
Yeah.
You know, maybe they would have, like, sold to him. But I honestly just didn't. I wasn't thinking. I was like, oh, yeah, I guess he could be in his young 20s. Like, so when he was in the store, I didn't think about it.
The guy who plays Mickey is actually 21. No, 20. He was born December 15th, 79. So he hadn't yet turned 21, I don't think so. But he is older than I thought he was.
Yeah, he was like right on the cusp of being 21 if he wasn't. But yeah.
And he's probably playing 16, 17.
That makes sense. It didn't strike me to think of their age until this point.
And then when they get rejected, Mickey's like, I ain't going out like that. And then he tells QT to get the soda. And he's like, grabbing the soda. He's like, no, get the strong stuff. And we cut to Chad practicing singing on that stuffed dog in football. Again, it's like such a quick scene. You get like him singing a little bit of the song. And like, it just, the reveal is that he's singing to them. And then it cuts right away again. And now we're at Jerry and Lorelai. We missed the whole date. They went right to the end of the date now that they're in the bedroom together. Because I was confused at first. I'm like, they're going on a date. He's right in her bedroom. And then it wasn't until they start talking about how they had a good time that, like, I was like, oh, okay. So they just kind of cut to the end of it.
I wonder if a lot was cut for time.
Maybe.
Maybe.
Every scene is 10 seconds. So, I mean, if they made them all 20 seconds, you would have two episodes. So she's trying to hook up, and he's avoiding it at first. He leaves. And then he walks back and he's like, have you seen my pen? He's like looking for a pen. So I think he was conflicted, right? Because you wouldn't go in there for actually going for a pen. So I think
wasn't sure. I was like, is that the guy in him finally coming out? Or is it like,
that's how I clocked it. Cause like you wouldn't go in for a pen, but, and then he sits next to her and then they almost kiss. And then again, he stops himself and says like, hey, you know, there's this girl and, you know, he manages to leave. So he does do the right thing again.
He's a good kid.
He's a good kid, but she should be a little madder. Like, okay, then why did you ask me out? Why'd you waste my time?
Yeah. I thought this was going to lead to them being kicked off the tour.
Me too. With them all getting mad.
Because he wouldn't fuck.
Sure. Now we get to the house, and QT and Mickey are there with all that soda they bought. But they're treating the soda like it's beer. So it starts with one of them's chugging, and now they're doing the shotgunning with the soda, which, like, shotgunning soda is going to be tough.
I mean, no tougher than beer.
Well, you know, as I think about it, I think the last time I shotgunned a beer was, like, when we were at Ferg's for the 4th a couple years ago
now.
Yeah,
I was just thinking that's probably my last time.
I was drinking seltzers that night, and those were a little more carbonated, so those were a little tougher to shotgun.
Yeah, soda foams up a little more than beer. I think it would be definitely tougher than beer.
But if I recall, I was still the fastest shotgun.
You beat me by a little bit. I'm pretty fast.
If I can find the videos, I'll toss them on our stories or something. I don't drink for the sole purpose of, like, you know, we talk about drinking games and stuff in the past now. Like, I don't drink anymore to be like, I want to get drunk. Like, that's something, like,
yeah.
Something you do when you're younger. But, like, I never intentionally want to get drunk or anything now.
I do remember a specific video from that shotgunning thing. I can't remember. One of Tom.
I was going to say, I distinctly remember Tom.
Was it on your Instagram, Jay? Like, where did I see these?
Probably. Yeah, and then there's another where one of our friends just can't drink fast. It took forever. But yeah, when it comes to, like, shotgunning and stuff, I just, that is one thing that, like, as much as I try to pace myself now, if especially if we're going to be at like a barbecue or something, where we're going to be out for a while and you don't want to drink too much too soon. But if you ask me to shotgun, I just legitimately enjoy that like as a game. So I will usually jump in on one if everyone's trying to shotgun.
All right, quick, everybody. Let's do one.
I'm drinking cranberry pineapple, the sugar-free cranberry pineapple juice. I'm old now.
All I have is seltzer, and I'm not poking a hole in it and getting alcohol on my
Actually,
computer.
Do I? I also have a seltzer nearby, but it's in a bottle. So
I got a Heineken in the fridge, I think.
I have a Coke. It's almost time for my 10 o'clock Coke.
I would need a straw, though, because it's in a bottle. I do have
Gordon, a straw. You drink a Coke every night at 10 o'clock?
10 o'clock.
All right, I'm going to go get it. We're doing this.
I'm not doing it.
Yeah, you are, bitch.
I don't have a
Come
can
on.
Of anything.
It's for the people.
I don't have a
I
can
have
of anything.
I have a bottle. How am I going to do this?
I don't have a can to shotgun, so it's like I can't even participate if I wanted to.
This Heineken has been in my fridge for probably a year. This is going to be disgusting.
Yeah, I'm using a seltzer, and it's going to hurt.
I don't have a can to participate with, so I apologize.
What do you have?
I'm drinking a...
You just said you had a seltzer.
In a bottle of seltzer, which I held
You got
up.
A straw?
That's what I'm doing. I'm doing a straw and a bottle. Jay, if anybody could shotgun a leader, it's you.
So are we really shotgunning?
Yeah, just be chugging. We've seen him do it.
Are we going to chug or are we going to actually shotgun?
Well, I can't shotgun a bottle, but I will shotgun it with a straw.
I forget. Do you do it the front or the open on the
back? I can already tell Gordo is going to buck this hole poke up. No.
And my wife is going to kill me.
I'm so excited for this.
All right. Ready?
All right, get your pokes ready, because we're going to have to do that first.
So you're supposed to poke it, and then...
All right, I got my hole.
And then pop the top of the can and drink out of the hole you made.
I'm soaked now, thanks. All right, ready?
No, we're not ready.
No, I don't want to make a pop.
All right, it's building up pressure.
I already fucked it up.
Go again.
All right,
go. Ow. Damn you two.
Oh,
I wish I was able to participate only because...
Yeah, too bad you're a bitch. But look at the straw. It's so crimped. I couldn't get it to get the air.
I literally don't have anything. It wasn't...
I'd had a bottle. I did the bottle with the straw. I'm sure you had a straw somewhere.
I have to go and put this out, and I'm dripping in beer.
I'm going to go put the can in the trash. Give me a
If you want to watch real quick before you guys run off, I'll show you how quick I can drink a pint.
No, it doesn't count. Nobody cares.
All right, go for it, though.
Jay's like, blah.
I'm a fast drinker. So now we have Doug, and he hears Chad arguing with someone in the room. So he walks in and he sees that, like, this whole naming your toys and like storyline thing has gotten like really out of hand. He's like, what in the H is going on here? He's like, all my friends are fighting. You have to help. Chad's going like over this like whole thing now. And it's gotten very in-depth. There's multi-layers to the stories. There's divorces and cheating. And it's just...
Basically like a Spanish sitcom.
Yeah. Like the novellas.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Telenovela. The lamp is involved. This is a lot of things going on here. The one... It ends with like Doug taking note that... I don't know if it was the drum or somebody single now. weird. Just a weird... I didn't mind, to be honest, I mean, it's nitpicky. I don't mind him being this weird. I thought Doug shouldn't have played into it and entertained the idea of dating an inanimate object.
Yeah, I don't get his line, so she's single now?
Yeah.
I was like, wait, I was like, does he want to fuck it?
Like, yeah, it's like, if he's gone crazy, that's fine. You can't, like, be part of that.
Yeah, that joke doesn't work.
I mean, if I'm... trying to force an explanation, his older brother, he's raised him because their parents died. I don't know if that comes up in the episode.
That comes up later on.
Oh, yeah. I mean, maybe stuff like this has happened in the past, and if he knows he doesn't play in, he'll have a meltdown. No,
this is
like
over justification. This is not anything that was thought of when they wrote this.
The show is so deep, man. What are you talking about?
Next, we cut over to Mickey and QT back on the couch, who are soda drunk now, and they're bonding. Mickey's like, I was wrong about you. You know how to party. And then he tells him, you're like an upside down rainbow. Your smile brings out the sun.
I just love
as funny as that was, I just love how much it impacted
QT.
No.
Or Mickey.
No, QT. Yeah, yeah. He was like, oh.
Especially to come from Mickey because his character is so hard, or at least tries to be, right, or pretends to be, you know, like, so for him to have like the flip and say something like that is, it's very funny to come from him.
A very sweet scene. Got me in the feels.
It was weird because it cuts to a little bit later. Now Jerry's walking back into the house and his girlfriend's there and she's sitting on the couch now, like in between a passed out QT and Mickey. I feel like something should have probably been in between these. She's like, you paged me? Which, like, that'll put a little bit of a timer on things.
Oh, yeah.
I think we've had the pager talk in the past. I mean, we definitely did. I guess Sign of the Times, 2000. I'm still holding a pager when I'm going into high school.
I was getting my first cell phone around.
I didn't get my first cell phone until we were in sophomore year. So
I was going to say sophomore or junior year was.
So in 2000, I'm still holding a pager for sure.
I remember me and you had the GTE pagers. We had the exact same one.
The side scrolling one that told you sports scores. I think I don't know for sure, but regardless, I remember getting that. I originally had the shitty pager that didn't do anything. And then when you got the one with side scrolling text that told you sports scores and like random news things, I mean, it's funny now because like we're of a weird generation where we're like 1 foot in the old world and then like 1 foot in the new world. At that time, I felt like I had the fucking future in my pocket. Like it was like,
I know.
Yeah,
it's crazy. Like,
oh my God, look at this. Look at this. This is insane. It's telling me the sports scores.
What's crazier about it though, is those things ran for weeks off one AA battery.
Yeah.
Like there was no charging it. Like you just had to have a battery on you if it was going to die. And they just kept going. I mean, not like it was.
It's funny that we all had them. The only one who's, we didn't page each other. The only one who paged us was our moms.
No, yeah. I had a few people like that. Not you guys, actually, but,
fuck you, pages. Nick.
But yeah, no, 99%.
I had a pager just, crew.
Just your mother being like, call me.
Yeah, I had like one of those doctor ones.
Yeah. I had one of those first.
Yeah, that was my first one. And then I ended up getting the other one.
Can you still get paid? Like, I know you can get them, like, doctors need them.
Doctors do.
They're on their own, like, infrastructure, but, like, can you still get them as, like, a, just, like, a regular consumer?
Well, again, it's not to sound old, but, like, then, if your parents paged you, we were out, and there would be payphones everywhere.
Yeah.
So, like, there's no payphones anywhere anymore, so you just give someone a phone. So, like, there's no need to page anyone anymore. You just call their phone or text
them. Yeah, why do doctors have them? Can't you just call their cell phones?
It's why fax machines still exist, because the technology is so simple, it always works. Okay. You know, there's nothing like the Wi-Fi going down or something like that. Like, it just always works. So,
oh, like when AT&T went down on me all day the other day.
Ooh, yeah, how did that feel?
Terrible. I wish I had my pager.
So you can get them on Amazon.
You have to pay service.
A pager. Where can you get service for one, though?
There's nothing practical modern day to have a pager.
I don't want one.
It says here in Google that there are still millions in use by people that actually have a need for them. Privacy, urgency, cost effectiveness, and reliability are the main reasons pagers are used today.
So I just looked up pagers on Amazon, and the first thing that shows up is restaurant pagers, like for when your table's ready. And you can buy a 16-pack of those for $100, and I want it. I would never use it for anything. Just, hey, our table's
you just set them as traps around your house.
The seafood restaurant that's in the town we grew up in, they have lobsters, and I love that. I love that.
Oh, the lobster buzzer.
That's right. She's sitting there. And he walks in and Jerry gives her a big kiss and they're on the couch and it looks like they're about to start hooking up or at least make out. And that's when Carson pops up on the TV with breaking news.
Carson doesn't do breaking news.
We've been talking about like Kurt Loder and we've been talking about MTV. And this is my other thing I brought up earlier was you have these MTV resources, right? Even if it wasn't Kurt Loder, even if you use Carson again, because you don't want to pay two different people to be on the show, why didn't they do the MTV news like
with
the time thing they used to do? Like, you have that already. This exists. Like, I feel like you're not using your resources.
Yeah, it's your property. Like, I don't understand why you can't cut in.
It looked like he was like in a bunker with like
he had a hat on.
Yeah, it was very weird. It was like they forgot to film it, and they're like, quick, just jump in this closet real quick. We have to do the scene for the show.
Yeah, it was really strange, and I don't understand why they didn't do it. Big missed opportunity. Even if they got, like, even if they didn't have Carson Daly, but, like, if they just pulled, like, some bum to do it.
Just a real-life one?
Hey, it's me, Slappy the Hobo.
It's like,
Slappy the Hobo.
But as we come to find out, this breaking news is that Lorelai has taken a lover, and they show security footage of her and Jerry from the date walking into her room, or into like her apartment complex, and then into the apartment itself.
He's at a hotel.
Was it a hotel? I didn't realize that. I thought it was just like a fancy apartment complex.
I thought it was a complex too. I thought it was an apartment complex too. But they said hotel, and then that made sense as to why they had him and her going into her room. Does that just be weird?
Yeah, because it's not like they walked in the bedroom. The whole room's a bedroom. That makes sense. But they're saying in the report that reportedly made sweet love for several hours. I don't know where this report's coming from.
Lorelai.
And obviously, you know, his girlfriend got pissed and then leaves the room after seeing the report. We cut to a little later. Jerry's talking to Doug. Doug's like, you need to show her that you love her. He's like, oh, I know. I'll kill myself. No, she'll hate that. And Doug's like, just declare your love for her at the concert. And it's like, no, she's never going to go. She hates me. Like, no, she traveled 3,000 miles just to be with you. Like, she'll go down the street to the concert. And then he goes, and this is Frank you brought up earlier. When I had to tell Chad that our parents both died in a car accident, I told him at a Dixie Chicks concert.
That's right, he does.
And then he's like, and then Chad's like, dude, the Dixie Chicks rule. That concert was the best. I don't know if I would want, I understand the idea of like putting someone in a good situation to like give them bad news, but is a obviously concert's not the time. I don't feel like you'd want to do it at the event. You'd almost want to distract them, like, by taking them after you give the bad news.
Yeah, great. Now you've ruined the Dixie Chicks.
Yeah, right? That's what I was thinking, too.
You give them the news, and they say, but tonight we're going to have some fun. Tonight we're going to go see the Dixie Chicks.
Or you tell them after, and you'd be like, hey, remember all that fun time that we just had tonight?
No, that ruins it. That's the opposite of what you want to do. So now we cut to the concert night, and we see all the people like flooding in, and Doug walks Erin to her seat in the front row.
Yeah, Doug walks her dad. It's not the front row. He goes, oh, look, near front row seats.
Yeah.
When nobody recognizes him. Or not recognizes him, but just doesn't care.
Like, everyone calm down. I'll sign stuff after the concert. We go backstage and you see the executives walk up to Jerry. The outfits that they have to wear for the set, they almost look like they're dressed like Bumblebee from Transformers with no helmet.
I got a Spy Kids vibe.
Power Rangers vibe is what I got.
I just think that's one of the only things you still remember, because now you just keep going back to the Power Rangers.
I'm going to have to hit him again so he loses that one.
It's my only memory.
Like, man, remember when we were kids? And he's just going, yeah, Power Rangers.
It's funny, too. A very specific memory of mine is, I remember Gordo building the Megazord, like, that. Remember, they were super popular back in the day, like the big plastic toy that you came and you had to, like, put it together yourself. I remember Gordo having it and putting it together.
I had, like, all the Power Rangers toys.
I had all of them except for Dragonzord. I could not find Dragonzord anywhere.
That's what it was, the Dragonzord. That's what it was, yeah.
I was tempted, because a few years back, they reproduced all of those toys and put them back out on market. And I was so tempted to get, like, just, like, one of them. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah, probably the flute. It was, like, the Legends Deluxe Megazord.
I wanted to get the flute. Whatever. The
Dragon Dagger.
Dragon Dagger. I wanted to get it. And I'm looking at it in the box. And I'm getting all the nostalgia. Like, because it's one of my favorite toys when I was a kid. I'm like, I can't. I like, what the fuck am I? Now, granted, I'm in a room that has a bunch of toys in it. But I'm like, what am I going to do with this?
It wouldn't be out of place in your room.
You display it, man.
Yeah, I refrain. Maybe
you can get a replica for $100.
Jay invites a lady over.
You want to get that dragon dagger?
I had the Saba too, right? That was the white
when he was white ranger. Yep.
Anyways, the executives super pumped about all this stuff that came out with the press with them allegedly making sweet love. And now they want him to profess his love for Lorelai while they're on stage.
Again, you could have just did it and had the girlfriend in on it and it'd be cool.
Well, it's too late for him to. Right now, she's mad at him because she's mad about like the what's already happened. She's under the impression that he is in a relationship with her now, or at least hooked up.
Do you think they leaked it to the press?
Ooh, that's possible.
Oh, yeah, 100%.
But she's so famous that
yeah.
it sounds like she's a megastar. They're just tracking her in general.
Yeah.
He's like, hey, listen, no, like I have something planned. I want to say something for my girlfriend. And they make it known that, you know, if he does anything of the sort, he's out of the band. And they've got 18 rejects from O-Town that are willing to take his place.
And what the fuck did O-Town do?
Well, they're not making fun of O-Town. They're saying, if you remember, O-Town was the original making the band.
Yep.
I did not remember that.
So, yeah, so they have all the rejects who didn't make it into the band, is what they're saying, that, like, they could pull from to take his spot.
I accidentally saw O-Town live in Florida once.
How do you accidentally see O-Town?
I was visiting my cousin, and we were at a random park. It was, like, a festival-like thing. And O-Town was just playing a random stage. That's how far O-Town fell. They were just playing a random stage at this park in Florida.
I thought the sign said Hoetown. I was ready to party. How were they?
They were good. They weren't as good as Boyz II Men, who we saw at Six Flags.
I do love Boyz II Men.
Kind of like the OG boy band.
Funny enough, not so much them. It was to get into a little boy band history. So Boyz II Men named after a New Edition song. New Edition was like really like one of the OGs.
Love me some Bobby Brown.
And the guy who put them together, or had worked with New Edition, whatever, is the one who ends up getting the New Kids on the Block together. Same town. They're all from Dorchester, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Basically, New Edition was so huge, they're like, I need to make a white version and put together the New Kids on the Block.
Now, if we're going to talk about like boy bands and stuff, is the definition of a boy band people that don't play music? And are boys, because I would...
And are boys, yes. I don't know why you're still hung up on the are boys part, because yes, they have to be boys to be in a boy band.
Because I would argue, like, other bands have been put together by record labels.
I think you hit it on the head. They don't play instruments. They all just sing and harmonize.
Sometimes there's, like, one guy who plays a guitar. Sometimes they throw a guitar on one person in some of those bands.
Okay, all right.
And I would say that boy bands, it has to really be pop music.
Yeah.
Okay. Because I would make the argument, like, if you're going to put together bands, like, that's been done throughout musical history.
Yeah, that's been done with rock music and stuff, too, but you wouldn't call them a boy band.
I mean, that's like calling the Jackson 5 a boy band.
They essentially were.
Well, yeah, I mean.
Kind of were. They just didn't have to go far for recruitment.
So anyways, getting back into this. After he has that conversation, we cut a little later and we see the whole band kind of off on the side of waiting to get on stage. And they're all now we see they're all wearing those same like bumblebee suits. And they get announced and we see like a good solid like the majority of the song for that Every Minute, Every Hour song, right?
Great tune.
And I like Chad has like his stuffed dog that he's singing to, like literally singing to that stuffed dog on stage for a minute. For like his comfort, and then throws it into the crowd. And then the girls who grab it like rip it to pieces.
Yeah,
trying to grab it because like they're all fighting for it. You know, like they're not doing any like just the look on his face.
This cracked me up, but I think he should have reacted a little more because he personified it so much that he should be like, "No, Jennifer," or whatever his name was.
And we also see that the those executives are like off to the side with Lorelai, and they're watching this whole thing too. So now when the break in the song comes and Jerry takes a moment to talk, he's saying that he fell in love last night, fell in love all over again, to Erin. And she seems pretty happy. You know, so he's walking over to her, and the executives are about to shut down the show, like, in the middle of the song, which seemed extreme. But Lorelai stops them and says, "But you never stop a heartthrob?" Is that the rule?
Yeah. I mean, true. Ferg, has anybody ever stopped you?
Never. Never gonna stop me.
So he walks down to where she's at, front row-ish, and he gets on his knee and asks her to marry him. And she says no, which I didn't quite say, like, I don't know. My memory isn't, like, super clear about the show, so I was surprised in the moment. And now Jerry walks. I thought Jerry should have had a stronger reaction. Like, you said, like, when they ripped the dog up. I think Jerry should have been, like, audibly crying as he was still performing after that. I thought that would have been the funnier way to do it.
I mean, he was hurt.
He looked upset, but I wanted it to be extreme. Like, something about someone crying while dancing is just inherently hilarious. Yeah.
Yeah, it would have been funny if you saw, like, tears, like, down his face as he was dancing and singing.
So they finish up the song, and after the show, it cuts right to him and Aaron walking into the dressing room together. And she was just basically, like, saying how the proposal's a bit extreme. You don't ask, you know, a woman to marry you in front of 20,000 people while wearing that. And he's like, "Well, I thought if I love you and you love me, we should be together for all times." She's like, "Now you sound like a Together song." And they're like joking. They'll be like, "Oh, and it would be called like Be Together and how it'd be spelled." So now they're like, I don't know, they're back on track. They're not engaged, but I think that we can comfortably say that they're, you know, boyfriend and girlfriend again.
Oh, he never quite explains. I didn't sleep with her. Oh, at this moment, she still thinks they've been.
He does try, but she'd already like closed the door in his face.
Maybe on the walk to the dressing room, he told her. By the way, I didn't fuck her. And while they're talking, the band opens the door and they're all like, "Hey, come on. Lorelai wants us to take one more bow." And what QT's like, "And we want to marry you." Mickey's like, "I'll marry you 5 times in one night." I don't know why.
Yeah.
She says that's the sweetest thing she's ever heard.
It kind of ends with just, you get the shot of them like slow motion walking to the stage from behind. And we fade into that, like the intro music again. And that's the close of the episode.
Yeah, good stuff. Good ending point. We always talk about shows going one scene too many. I think this ended at the right time.
Yeah, it ended the right way.
Did anybody else expect a lot more material on this?
It definitely it flew by for me.
No, I mean, just like as far as research goes, there's like not a whole lot.
It's weird. I'll say like we said, it's not streaming anywhere right now. To find the episode was like whatever, had a, you know, the best quality version I could find. You scour through the, and I've said to people before, you know, we do what we do to find some of these episodes. And sometimes if they're not on a streamer, we do what we got to do.
You know, it's funny though. If you look at the wiki for this, it gives you the, every episode, the title, directed by, written by, and the air date. The 12th episode titled Dumped has unknown as directed and written by. How is that unknown? It's gotta be in the credits.
There's probably no copies of it that are clear anywhere right now.
That's crazy to me. This was such a cultural, like, thing at the time, and now it doesn't exist anymore. I don't get it.
I don't know why it's, again, not on, like, Paramount or something like that, but then also, it's just when I have to put graphics together, right? So, like, so every time we release a new episode, right, there's the graphic that introduces that we have a new episode coming out. We also use that as, like, the YouTube thumbnail. If you listen to us on YouTube, we usually have the thumbnail, and you can listen to us as an audiogram. To find a clear photo, like a decent resolution photo of the five of them together, was so much harder than you would think it is. I don't understand it. There should be so many promo pictures and stuff of them, and all I could find was like one or two that were of iffy quality, and then like the album covers.
Right.
That have the name of the band like right in the middle of the photo, so I couldn't use it. So I was like, why? Like, it amazed me, because the show, I mean, it wasn't like this gigantic hit or anything like that, but it came out in 2000, like the internet's being used, like all these things should be like archived somewhere. There's like, I just don't understand why there's not.
At the very least, their songs were pretty big. Like, they charted high. And even though they were joke songs and they did well, you'd think that you'd be able to find more content just based on that alone.
Did they chart high the same way Tom Green charted high? Like, that's.
No, they were just good
songs. I legitimately
songs.
Liked a couple of songs.
The Hottest Part of Breaking Up is a great song.
I was going
to
mention that one. Awesome, yeah, Lover, man. Great song.
I was going to say, too, the other thing is that, like, they're a satirical band. Band takes promo pictures. There should have been like...
There should be a ton of stuff. I don't know why, but there just doesn't seem to be. It's really weird. I don't know.
Maybe it has something to do with the estate of QT and his family not wanting him on anything because he died.
I don't think so, because you would think they would want his legacy to like be remembered.
Man, no, it's just weird.
The show wasn't that big, but the movie was. You'd think you'd be able to find stuff about the movie at least.
Yeah. I mean, you could find a few. I mean, granted, the internet was a little different in 2000. So, I mean, like, if you want to find some, like, low-res photos that are small, then you can usually find those. But just to round out a little bit about the band, too, like, we said the actor who played QT, unfortunately, he passed, like, early in the filming of the second season. Michael Cuccioni died. I think they got 6 episodes in the second season out.
Yeah, there was only 6.
So they did that, and then you really can't do anything with the band afterwards. From what I understand, the ratings weren't phenomenal, and that show was about to get wrapped up kind of anyways. But obviously with that happening, it, you know, put that final nail in the coffin.
Yeah.
There were, like, talks of, like, reunion stuff. Like, something almost happened, like, 10 years ago and then didn't. But then there was something, 3 of them, like, did a song or something on, like at something not, like, not recently, but, you know, a few years back. And one of them couldn't make it. I can't remember which one couldn't make it.
Before we get into the green light and cancel, though, let me ask you this. With what was so popular on MTV with all that reality, do you think this show would have been maybe more successful? I mean, his death probably, like, really is what derailed it. But would this have been a better show had it been, like, a Behind the Music spinoff, like, satirical, and it was set in a reality TV style show? Just because that was literally everything else on the network at the time.
The movie is close to that. Like, it's a lot more documentary style than the show, but it's also, there's parts that are just movie.
I think, honestly, the show could have had a little more effort put into it, if I'm being honest. Not to say I didn't enjoy it, but, like, this was, like, the movie's successful, we want to make a show, and they're like, what's the bare minimum we have to do to get this show out? And it, you know what I mean? Like, everything's very simple. The characters are already established, and it was fun. And the songs, like, they did a good job. I think the creators of the show did the majority of the songwriting, too.
Yeah.
The Gunn brothers.
Yeah.
Not Billy and Bart, but Brian and Mark Gunn. So they wrote a lot of the songs. But I don't know. I think if they put a little bit more into the show, I think the show could have benefited, too. Like I said, if you use the MTV resources... And we mentioned Entourage earlier, and you look at shows like Entourage or Ballers or The League, where they kind of like dip into that, like, let's throw celebrity cameos in here once in a while.
The League did it too much.
They got too towards the end, for sure.
Yeah.
Because it didn't, but for The League, it was, the problem was, like, it didn't make sense for the story, because they were just like random lawyers and a doctor who live in Chicago. They shouldn't have access to all these NFL players. But a boy band in LA, the idea of running into other, like, celebrities and artists and being, like, that does make sense. So, I mean, and I don't remember the rest of the episodes enough, but I don't really think they leaned into that. And I think put a little bit more budget, a little bit more effort into it, throw in a couple celebrities here and again, I think the show is a lot better.
I think they did later. I think this being a pilot, they kind of just, I don't want to say mailed it in, but they did, they stretched money.
Yeah.
I just have one more comparison. It's like this, the concept isn't new. It's almost like a modern day version of the Monkees.
Sure. And I mean, I think that actually this is more different genre, but this is more Spinal Tap.
Oh yeah, definitely.
Yeah, that's yeah. It's like the hair metal version.
But the Monkees, I guess if you think about I'm thinking of the movie, I guess you'll get more of that Spinal Tap, and then the show, I guess the Monkees kind of falls more into line there, but
yeah, the fictional band, which that became a real band, sitcom.
The Monkees I would like to carry cover eventually.
We gotta.
I always thought we would do like a music month, but there's only so many shows. No, we just did Together. Like, there's only so many you could pull from.
Yeah, we just eliminated one.
Partridge Family.
Yeah, there's a couple. Partridge Family, Girls 5 Eva. We'll talk about that at another time, but we've dug into this, I think, as well as we can. So to not keep all of you too much longer, we might as well get into the green light or cancel. Again, Joe's not here. We will get his score. You go to S1E1 Pod. And that'll be on our social medias. You'll see his score as well. So in the event of a tie here, that would be the tiebreaker. So keep in touch with our social medias for that stuff. But until then, the four of us will go over them. So I'll go in the order I see you guys in. Nick, starting with you.
Yeah, you need such a specific set of interests to even entertain watching an episode of this show. And obviously those interests were of 20 years ago, or longer now, almost 25 years ago. This was not built to age whatsoever. And even if I go back and view this through the eyes of somebody living in the year 2000, right? Like, I personally, like, I just don't think there's enough here to keep people interested. Even whether or not you're ignoring the fact that there is a movie, I just think there is so many more reasons to not make this show than there is to make this show. And it's, don't get me wrong, it's not without its humor. Like, a few of the cast members are, you know, funny. I like Mickey. I like Chris Farley's brother there. I forget his name. And it's got, you know, decent acting and stuff. But I just think as a whole, and as far as the substance goes, it's pretty hollow. And just, I don't know, just too goofy and unnecessary for me anyways to give it the green light. So it's a cancel for me.
Ferg.
One's tough for me. I come into this very attached and try to, you know, push that all out of my head. You put yourself back in the time when this aired. You either loved boy bands or you fucking hated them with a passion. You love boy bands, you watch this show. You know, you're like, oh, that's great. The music's good. They're funny. I like these characters. You hate boy bands, you watch this show because it's making fun of boy bands. And that was the beauty of what Together was. Is it really, it filled both aisles. The show wasn't perfect, but it was funny. Because I saw the movie, I knew each character a little better, so it was nice seeing extra of them. I don't know if I didn't see the movie, if I would have got to know these characters. Why do they act like this? Why this? Why that? A little hard. But, like I said, this episode isn't perfect, but it has a lot of potential. And just going on that potential, I'm giving it the green light. It's funny, and they act good. They're all good singers, which is crazy. They could have easily just lip sync, but no, they all sing. Yeah, green light.
Gordo.
See, I'm still on the fence about this show. It had its moments, but I don't remember the movie. It was so long ago and Ferg hit me too many times in the head. So I don't remember it at all. So I'm going in with this about as fresh of a eyes as you can get. And I don't know. I'm leaning towards cancel because, like, there's no sort of other story. You know what I mean? It just kind of, it wrapped up. It was almost like a sequel, like Ferg said, to a movie. And that was cool. I got what I wanted to out of it, but I don't know if I would stick around week after week to watch this. So I'm going to lean cancel on that.
Right. So for me, it is tricky because I'm not sure how much nostalgia is coming in here. Now, I'll admit, I was a fan of the show in its run. I love the movie in its day. But it's not like the details are not strong with me. Even the movie, like, which I've seen multiple times then, in the last 20-something years, a lot of that information has slipped from my brain. So I remember, like, little highlights and stuff, but I did enjoy this, and it was a dumb show. And I get that it's a dumb show, and I get that the budget was bad, and it was low effort, and it was simple comedy, but I was entertained by it. And I don't know if it's the music aspect of it. I enjoyed watching it. I do somewhat fear that my vote is somewhat based on nostalgia. I hope it's not. I'm trying to watch it with fresh eyes. But I enjoyed it. It was a really easy watch. Like I said, it's definitely an easy show to just kind of keep on in the background too. Like if you wanted to power through it and just kind of look up and have a good laugh once in a while. But yeah, for me, it's a green light. And because of that, we're leaving you on a tie. So again, go to S1E1pod.com.
It's funny too, because I actually don't know how Joe's going to go with this one. Normally I'd say he's going to green light. Like there's a 90% chance. This one, I really don't know. I think it's actually a 50-50.
It is. And because there's a lot of things here that are references and things he hated. With all that in mind, yeah, go to S1E1Pod, Instagram, and X. We'll put the graphic up later in the week so you'll know officially which way it goes. So I can't say congratulations or sorry to Together. You are in limbo right now, so I apologize for that, but I want to thank everyone who's listened to this episode. Again, S1E1Pod.com has all the links to our social medias, everywhere you can listen to us. Please engage. Hit us up. We love talking to you guys. Again, I want to know what shows you want us to cover. I want to know how you found us. I want suggestions. Give us all of that stuff. So hit us up on those. But until then, we'll catch you again next week with another new episode. So thank you. Goodbye.
I think we got the best pimp costume.